الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, there is one issue of, actually it is an issue of our aqidah itself, which is often misunderstood and ignored. And this is the issue of al-wala wal-bara' lillahi ta'ala. Friendship and enmity only for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a part of our Islamic aqidah. And as I said, it's mostly misunderstood. We don't understand it and we misuse it. So what is wala and what is al-wala and what is al-bara? Friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the foundation of the ummah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Friendship and brotherhood on the basis of faith, not on the basis of tribe or race or nationality or color of the skin or color of the hair or whatever. It's friendship and brotherhood on the basis of faith, on the basis of Islam, which makes every Muslim a brother or sister of every other Muslim, no matter where they live, no matter what their culture is, no matter what their nationality is, no matter what their race is, no matter what their economic condition is, rich or poor, black or white, whatever the situation is, Islam gives complete and total equality between Muslims, one Muslim to another Muslim, and without reservation. So this is the issue of al-wala. There is also a brotherhood of humanity, where Islam promotes the brotherhood between faiths, between religions, where, or even lack of religion. For example, every human being is a brother of another human being. And there are many ahadiths where Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned the issue of brother, where he said that, for example, the hadith where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that your iman is not complete until you want for your brother what you want for yourself. Now this hadith, sometimes when people narrate it, they say until you want for your Muslim brother what you want for yourself. But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say Muslim brother. He said until you want for your brother. And that is one of the issues when we do translations, is not to add on our own understanding to the translation. If the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to say Muslim brother, he would have said Muslim brother. He didn't say that. He said your brother. And the correct meaning is brother, meaning human brother. And the dalil of that is that the one thing which you should want as a Muslim for every human being is Islam itself. What you should want, you have Islam. What you should want for every other human being is Islam, because you have it. So now if you apply this meaning, then this hadith refers specifically to non-Muslims. Because what do you want? You want Islam for me? I already have Islam. So if you are saying, I should want for myself, I should want for my brother what I have and what I want for myself, then what I want for myself is Islam, which I already have, and I want this for who? For the one who doesn't have it. So therefore, the issue of brotherhood of humanity. And there are many such hadiths where Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned the brother as in terms of your human brother. So al-wala refers to brotherhood and friendship for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look at this, why am I the brother of every Muslim? In order to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of Allah. Why am I the brother of every human being? For the sake of Allah. There is no other reason. I mean, I have no desire to be everybody's brother. But this is a reality of life. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat lin nas. For everyone. For the benefit of all of humanity. And that's why we have created you. For the benefit of all humanity. Similarly, is the issue of bara. Now, bara is not enmity as in I want to destroy you, I want to kill you. Bara is to separate yourself. I am free from. Surah Tawbah begins with this ayah of Bara. I am free from, meaning I have nothing to do with you. Now that does not mean I am hostile to you. It does not mean I am trying to destroy you. But it means that I differentiate myself from you. Al-wala is where there is no differentiation. I am like you. I am one of you. Al-bara is the opposite. But I am different. Now, why is differentiation important? Differentiation is the soul of brand. Differentiation is the soul of recognition. If there is one thing, for example, in when I teach career development, I tell people, the key to success is to differentiate. Is to differentiate, and not just differentiate, but to differentiate in a meaningful way, which is respected and appreciated by your client system. In business, we said to differentiate in a meaningful way, which has value with your client system. This is the meaning of brand. And brand, differentiation is the soul of brand. Brand is the soul of success, because brand creates loyalty, and loyalty brings customers back to you. When you go to the shop to buy toothpaste, you don't say, give me a toothpaste. You ask for a brand. You say, give me Colgate or Pepsodent or whatever your brand is. It's toothpaste. But the guy, if he tries to promote something and he says, no, why don't you take this equally good? No, I want this. Because of brand, you recognize it for that reason. You don't say, give me rice. You say, give me basmati, and with that basmati, you give me this particular brand which I buy. As the case might be, for everything, you go and ask for a particular brand. Now, that is differentiation. And this branding is the real meaning of al-bara, meaning differentiating yourself, removing yourself from. So, it is not enmity as in destroying somebody, but it's enmity, not enmity, but it's removing yourself from, saying, I am free from. Now, this bara, when you say I am free from, differentiation means what? Differentiation means that some things you will be recognized by the way you do them, which is different from somebody else, meaning that you will not do it like others. So, in Islam, therefore, there are many hadith where Rasulullah, for example, Nabi said, when you are praying outside on the ground and so on, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the entire earth pure for the Muslim and made it a place of worship. So, for the Muslim, alhamdulillah, the masjid has significance, has huge significance. There is a great importance in masajid, but the Muslim is not dependent on the masjid to pray. Now, I am not trying to say don't go for jamaat. Salah by jamaat, absolutely we have to do that. That's the first sign of obedience. But I am saying that if, may Allah protect the masajid of this world, but if, for example, you find yourself in a place where there is no masjid, you can't say, well, you know, I can't pray because there is no masjid. No, for the Muslim, any clean place, any clean piece of earth is a place of prayer. Right? For other religions, for example, the Hindu, he may say, well, you know, I have to find a temple, otherwise how do I worship? A Christian might say, well, today is Sunday, but there is no church, so I can't go to church. Right? For a Muslim, any piece of ground is, as long as it's pure, as long as there is no dirt, visible dirt on it, this is a place of worship. Now, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in such a situation, he said, pray with your shoes on. Pray with your shoes on. Because the Jews pray, they take their shoes off. He said, be different, pray with your shoes on. Now, this does not mean he is the enemy of the Jews. He is just saying that this is the way we differentiate ourselves. Take, for example, the Sikhs. The appearance of the Sikh. Right? He wears a turban. He has a beard. And the Salafis of the Sikh are the Nirankaris. So, he has a turban. He has a beard. He has a sword, he has a kirpan, right? He has a long kurta, which goes beyond his jubba, which goes below his knees. And he wears trousers, he wears the pajama, which is above his ankles. Right? Now, whose dress is this? Where did this come from? This is the 100% dress of the sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The turban, the beard, the weapon, right? The long kurta and the pajama, which is the izar, which is above the ankles. This is the dress of the... Now, why did Guru Nanak choose this for his people? It was the dress of the leaders of the time. It was the dress of the rulers of the time. So he called the man Sardar. Until today you call him Sardar. Sardar is what? Sardar is leader. And he called the woman. He said, this man is called Sardar. In his name he must have Singh. Means lion. Means lion. And the woman, she must have the word Kaur in her name, which means princess. Why? Differentiation is nothing new. Differentiation is there in everyone. Now, if a Sikh is wearing a turban, he is not being hostile to the Hindu, he is not being hostile to the Jain, he is not being hostile to the Muslim, he is not being hostile to the Christian. He is wearing his own way of dress. So, there is nothing to be apologetic about differentiation from other people. This is who we are. This does not mean we are against you. This means this is who we are. You want to recognize a Muslim? This is what he looks like. So, differentiation on this basis. Now, the reason I am saying that is because in a misguided attempt at being friendly, we run away and from differentiation and we become apologetic about our ways and we try to say, no, but you see everything is the same and we are all the same. We are all not the same. We are all not the same. Everything is not the same. We are different and alhamdulillah, we are different. And we are proud of our difference. We are not arrogant about it, but we are proud of it because this is our identity. There's nothing to apologize about. And this is very important for us to understand and for us to also inculcate in our children. On the other hand, be very clear, this does not mean that we are condemning anybody, we are being, anti anybody. The other day somebody said to me that when this Hindu lady, she said, when we were growing up, we all grew up together and so on. But today, my grandchildren are playing in the building. And there are Muslim, our neighbor's children, they are playing there. And my neighbor's children are telling my grandchildren, you are going to hell. You will burn in the hellfire. He says, where did this come from? Why are they saying that? Now, this is a complete misconstruance of this. And this is a lack of tarbiyah. Who told you that you can go and tell a Hindu or you can tell a Christian that you are going to burn in the hellfire? How do you know he is going to burn in the hellfire? Right? If he is, until he dies, if he becomes a Muslim 5 minutes before he dies, then he will have a higher position in Jannah than you can ever imagine because he will go there completely clean and pure from all sins, whereas you are going to go and give hisab for everything you have. So, this whole issue of talking like this is completely wrong. And one must, train our children and so on not to talk like this. But al-wala wal-bara, friendship on the basis of faith, friendship for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and differentiation, al-bara, which is to separate yourself from others, differentiation, in order that we are recognized, alhamdulillah, as Muslims. Along with this also comes the clear importance of differentiating, specially from the specific things that identify another religion. Once again, it's not a sign of hostility. It's a clear sign of the fact that we do not do because it's a sign of another religion. For example, in the dress code of which is specific to a religion, dress code which is specific to the priests of a religion, for example. Now, for a Muslim, as long as dress is Sharia, in terms of Sharia, if it is covers your body, this is fine. But if you are wearing clothes, even though Sharia way in terms of covering the body, they will cover the body. But if you wear clothes which clearly differentiate or which are associated with the particular religion or a particular priesthood of a religion which is not Islam, then this is prohibited in Islam. So, for example, wearing trousers and shirt is fine because it's not associated with a particular religion. It's a regular dress for everyone. So, wearing trousers and shirt is fine. But wearing a cross, for example, right, as a whatever you want to call it, a jewelry or something, wearing a cross. Obviously, this is, you might say, well, I'm not believing in it. I just like, it looks nice. Just as a matter of jewelry. No, you cannot wear a cross. Because if you wear a cross, the cross is associated with Christianity. Wearing a dhoti in India for a Muslim would be prohibited because it's specific to the Hindu religion, especially to the priesthood. Now, we are not anti-Hindu. By wearing a dhoti, you are not, by not wearing a dhoti, you are not declaring war on the Hindus. It is a matter of differentiating yourself. Find me a Sikh in a dhoti. Find me one practicing Sikh in a dhoti. Does it mean that they are hostile to Hindus? No. That is their dress. That is their dress, that is their what they differentiate with. So also, and even more, therefore, it goes also to the celebration of festivals. Now, many times you get this thing of saying, today is this festival, that festival, today is Diwali, tomorrow is Holi. Yeah, somebody started a Holi, Holi-like thing, now I believe in the Holy Land. Holi in the Holy Land, they should have a slogan. In Palestine, in Gaza, they are playing Holi. Somebody sent me photos of men and women, everyone together, boys and girls, you know, throwing color on each other and praying Holi. Some guy started it. And obviously, all these things, they get started and they take off like wildfire. So, you've got this whole bunch. And then people are getting very upset. Oh, you see, people are, Muslims are very fundamentalist and they are objecting to this and so on. Obviously, whole bunch of boys and girls together throwing color on each other. This is not from Islam. This is not from, where is this permission for boys and girls to mingle and play like this? This is not from Islam. I'm sorry if you don't like it, that's the reality. They started that. So now this Holi is coming even then. So also Diwali. Now, somebody might say, well, what? You might not like the idea of throwing color on each other. You might say, well, you know, I dislike this whole thing of throwing stuff. I don't like anything thrown on me and so on. So, but technically speaking, if I throw some red color on you, is this haram? It is not haram. It's a stupid thing to do, but it's not haram. And why would you want to throw a red color or some other color on me? But it is not haram in that sense. But if I do it on the day when Holi is celebrated in India, then it's a different matter. Somebody says, what about burning a few crackers? Once again, pollutes the environment, noise pollution and so on. I don't know what's great about it, but we all seem to do that. And especially most of our Middle Eastern countries on their national day, they spend millions of dollars. Not just small money. They literally spend millions of dollars. Malaysia spends millions of dollars on their national day doing you know, all this firecracker business. But my point is that you might object to it on for environmental reasons and so on, but does it become haram? No. You want to do that, you can do that. It's not a great thing to do, but you can do it. But if you do it on Diwali day, now it's associated with a particular festival. So the issue of celebrating festivals which are directly connected with religions, because that Diwali is not about firecrackers. Diwali is about the whole Hindu concept of the festival, the Lakshmi Puja and all the beliefs that go with it and so on and so forth. So, if you are participating in that, then you are participating effectively in shirk, in the worship of somebody other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal, someone who is not worthy of worship. And therefore, it is prohibited to do it on that particular day. It's not that you are against firecrackers. The point is that this is the clarity, and this extends even more to obviously to eating food that has been cooked for a particular festival, even more if that food has been preyed upon. It literally makes it haram. I mean, if you have somebody who has done puja on something and they give you puja sweets, prasadam or whatever they want to call it, then obviously this is prohibited for us to eat, because this is associated with a worship of other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalalu. We do not eat that which has been prayed upon, that which has been blessed, that which has been associated with anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalal. This is our food law. This is Islam. This is not hostile to anybody, but this is our differentiator. This is who we are. Just like we don't eat pork, similarly we don't eat some puja food which in itself might be halal. The same sweet without the puja, absolutely no problem. You can eat it. You can eat it in the house of a Hindu. You can eat it in the house of a Christian. Absolutely no problem. Because it is halal by itself. There is nothing haram in itself. But the same thing, if it is, if puja has been done on it, then it is prohibited for us. And because the puja makes it prohibited as far as we are concerned. So, very important to understand, this is a fundamental principle of the Aqeedah. Al-Wala wal-Bara lillahi ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. So, therefore, very important for us to understand this and very important for us to teach, because this is our differentiator, this is who we are, this is our identity, this is our brand. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to be proud of being Muslim, to enable us to be confident about being Muslim, and to enable us to present Islam in a way which is pleasant, which is good, but which clearly differentiates Islam from everyone else. We are not like everybody else. Everybody else is not like us. Everybody else is not like everybody else. Everyone has their differentiators. Everyone practices their differentiators. Take one Vaishnavite and ask him if he is like a Shaivite, and he will say no. Both are Brahmin. I can give you any number of examples. Ask a Nambudri whether he is like a Chaturvedi, he will say no. Both are Brahmins. Ask a Nambudri whether he is like an Ayyar, he will say no. Both are Brahmins. Both are South Indian Brahmins. So what is, where is the need for you to feel apologetic about saying that I am a Muslim and therefore I am different? There's nothing, no, nothing, absolutely no, 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 no need to apologize. We are Muslim, Alhamdulillah, this is who we are, this is what we are confident about that. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the confidence, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the pride of being a Muslim, Alhamdulillah, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to present Islam in a way that He likes, Jalla Jalaluhu. Whether anyone accepts it or not is not your responsibility. We present it in a way that is liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jalla Jalaluhu. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.